Welcome to the Beaumont Podcast, where we be doing that bullshit.
Okay, this is probably going to be all kinds of fucked up, but we'll run with it and see how it goes.
All right, yeah, sounds good to me.
It took us... How long were we sitting
here? 30 minutes to get this thing going. I only Googled it like 9 times, though.
Oh my god, it was so bad. Fuck.
We've done worse. I've done worse.
We pretty much just installed, I don't know how many goddamn programs into my computer.
Well, one program, two plugins.
Yeah, and there's also a USB hub in my computer. All the mics have been moved.
You'll live.
My desk looks like an absolute shit show.
All right.
What else?
Well, I tell you what, Jam. Let's go ahead and dive right into it for the folks listening. I'm assuming at some point this audio is going to get released. So, let's take 5 and check some of this audio playback and see how it sounds.
All right, sounds good to me.
I'm still trying to figure out my mic stand. All right, like
yeah,
I had it laying on my.
I broke it.
You broke it?
I broke it. Already, I broke it.
It looks like we're still going, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, we're recording.
Yeah, but it looks like we're still in the red a little bit, so let's see.
Let me turn my gain down and see... Yeah, am I still peaking?
You're in the yellow.
Okay.
So, it's better. Okay, now...
So you're peaking a little bit, too. I think we're both going to end up peaking a little bit. I'm just going to move it away from my face and see how that sounds.
Yeah, I'm going to move that over there, see how that goes.
All right, let's give her a shot. How's that sound?
Okay, now we're both in the green. Even with both of us talking, we're in the green.
Okay, good. I'm gonna turn. How's my gain sound? Am I? Okay, I'm not popping.
No, you're not terrible. We're coming up a little bit in yellow, but it's okay.
Okay, so... Diving right into it, let's go ahead and do our introductions and kind of tell the listeners a little bit about ourselves. You want to go first, Jam?
Rock, paper, scissors. Sure.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Fuck off, record your shit.
But paper covers rock, you should be going first.
Fine, I'll go first. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tom Hope. I am a stand-up comedian and currently looking for work in the real world because comedy doesn't pay the bills yet. I'm 40, divorced, and I work currently in the petrochemical industry. I met Jamarcus through school, and apparently he might be an okay dude.
So, as he said, I'm Jamarcus. I work in higher education. I'm 29 years old, adopted kid. I have a disability called cerebral palsy. I live with it. It does not control me. All that good stuff. All that good. All the good words. So, like Tom said, we met through school. And the rest is pretty much history. We've been talking about podcasts pretty much since the day we met. And now we're giving it a try, seeing how it goes. We are, well, currently succeeding. Because now the sound isn't blowing through the roof.
Succeeding is a relative term, though. Let's keep that in mind.
It is, but currently, right now, it is going okay.
Yeah. So what do we want to accomplish with this podcast there, Jam? I mean, other than two dudes sitting in a bedroom 5 feet apart because they're not gay, what else are we doing?
I mean, it needs to be 6 feet because COVID. But,
COVID's fake.
Really, I think my whole dream with it is really just to be able to, you know, get the voice out there, tell a story, and being able to learn and listen to other people's points of view and thoughts on things and be able to expand our minds and learn, as well as being able to laugh and enjoy each other's company and being able to build what in my path we call... our path we call Frith, because you can't, I've recently learned this, and so, I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but you cannot fully build it online. You can build it You can build the foundation, but the
so, uppity parts. So for those of listening that don't know, why don't you explain what Frith is and what it means to us?
So, my definition. Frith is when you are building camaraderie and friendship with someone or a group of people. You are sharing your traditions, engaging with each other, finding your commonalities, your differences, working through them, becoming more family-like.
Yeah, so we're on the same page, really. I mean, it's kind of a... I'm stealing a water.
Okay.
Building Frith, for me, the way I look at it, is less camaraderie and family and more just the separate bonds of community. Yeah, we both already have families. Love them or hate them, take them or leave them, we both already have families. You know, I've got an ex-wife and three kids and a girlfriend and a fiance and a Sancha. So, I mean, you know, like, I've got a lot on my plate. So to say that I'm building family is kind of a misnomer. To build Frith for me is to build bonds of community. By the way, I have none of those. I have an ex-wife, kids, and a fiance. Don't kill me, Sarah.
Well, for me, my parents are deceased. I don't have any children. I am single. so for me, my closest friends are my family. Because with me being, you know, adopted and with those parents now gone, it's like, okay, now what do I do? At 18, I kind of just walked away from the whole thing and I said, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to figure out my life. I'm going to find myself. And go from there. And since then, I've kind of learned that family isn't blood. It's not the people that signed a piece of paper. It's the ones that are there when you need them, which it's always been people that don't exactly look like me and aren't exactly related to me, but they are still there like family, and I like them as such.
Well, I mean, the bonds of family, you know, I always try to tell my kids, you know, family does not start, stop, or even revolve around blood. I like the original saying of blood is thicker than water, because the full statement is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, i.e., the oath of bond, or the bond of oath, is far more important than the bond of genetics.
I can agree there. Definitely can agree there. It's just there's more to that word to me than, you know, the people that you were born to or the people that adopted you. So much more. And with, okay, side note, I walked away from Christianity at the age of 12, gave it another shot at the age of 17, left again permanently at 18, and never looked back.
You were not playing.
And at the age of, I want to say, 21, realized at that point I didn't really believe in anything at all.
Yeah.
Then 3-4 years later, after college, I'm, you know, working full time, living on my own outside of the dormitory of the college, and realizing, I had a lot of questions. And the one question I asked was, is there a religion or a way of life that believes in Thor, Odin, all the old gods, but also likes to be outside? And that is literally how I phrased it, and off I ran, because I'm not even kidding.
We outside now!
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you think about it in that way, Norse paganism is just religious hood slang. We outside! We stealing shit!
Oh, yeah. And the thing about Norse paganism that I love the most is that we don't have to pray every day. Oh, my God.
My conversations with the gods tend to be more sarcastic.
The threats of being thrown into the fires of hell, and how we have to worry about what we're doing here, because if we don't, when we die, our lives are going to be terrible, and it's all the focus on when you die. I'm like, why the fuck do we have to care so much about when we die? We're not even going to fucking be here. Looks like we're good. Anyway, having to worry about what happens when I die constantly. Death is the constant conversation, and I just got so tired of it. And I was baptized at the age of 5 in Christianity.
5?
Yes, 5. And I 5. I didn't know what was happening.
No one does.
I just thought I was going to go up to the front and play in the pool. And all of a sudden, the next Sunday, I'm in this white thing. My parents have like...
A white gown.
Yeah, my parents have like 2 sets of clothes for me. My mom's on the other side of the pool, just standing there, you know, proud. You know, I'm always happy to, you know, be her son and everything and do things to make her happy. But I didn't know. And then I get dunked in the water. Had no like, no warning. Like, hey, you're about to go under. Hold your breath.
So I just had this mental image. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just had this mental image of you getting dunked for baptismal and your little legs just going up in the air.
Yeah. Like, I had no warning, no nothing.
They didn't even rehearse this?
No, there is no rehearsal. There is no rehearsal. It's like, okay, you're getting baptized. And let's go in the water. And you go up and they start singing these hymns and these songs. And you're like, okay, what's happening? The preacher dude says a whole bunch of words. And then I baptize you in the name of Jesus, God. And
man, the religious trauma.
And then down. And then in the Pentecostal church, when you get baptized, they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it's 3 different things.
So you get 3 dunks.
No, you get 1.
Oh, okay.
You get 1. You still get 1. It's just like, 5 years old, I have no idea what's happening. And then 17 years old, I'm fully aware of what's happening, but I'm just like, okay, this is a good place for me, and you know, I'm happy here. And then after that, it all kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's sad, because I really wanted to believe in it, and I really wanted to get something out of it. It's just like, after that baptism, you could see the decline. However, me wearing rose-colored glasses did not see the decline until it was too late.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all want to, you know, whenever you make a decision, especially a decision about your spirituality, you know, you want to stick to your guns, and you're like, all right, this is my conviction, this is what I believe. But, I mean, one thing that I think a lot of people are failing to do is to really take a good, long, hard look at, does this belief serve you, and does this belief match your individual ideals? And that's kind of what led me to leaving the church is, upon further examination, I started to realize that I didn't agree with the Christian ideals and principles, you know, especially things like turn the other cheek and how the parable of the mighty man. You know, everybody says that, you know, the parable says that it's wrong for him to defend his home, but that's not the way it reads. Like, you read the parable of the mighty man, it sounds like he's doing the right thing.
Right. And then there were just certain things that I didn't agree on. Like, for example, almost everything is God's plan.
I refuse to accept that.
So,
as you ever had chlamydia? I don't think God planned for me to get chlamydia.
Right. That's one good point. It's part of God's plan for, you know, a kid to get cancer.
Right.
It's part of God's plan for me to be born, you know, with a disability and having to go through all kind of hardship and BS for the first 10, 12 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, going through that hardship,
Fighting through the therapies, all the pain, all the PT, all the OT, just having to fight all those battles and climb all those mountains, you get none of the credit.
Yeah.
You get none of it. It's like, oh, look what God did. Oh, look what Jesus did.
Yeah, it's, and it's the whole time you're here working yourself to the bone, you know, enduring the great pain of learning to straighten your legs and learning to operate, you know,
yeah.
within the scope of that disability. And the whole time it's like, look what God did for you. It's like, did you just not see me in there for 3.5 hours learning how to walk?
Yeah, like literally, it was just every time after every surgery having to relearn how to walk. It's like, oh, look what Jesus did. Oh, look what God did. And I'm like, do you not see me standing up here in front of this man, like doing all these workouts and sweating my freaking face off?
Yeah.
Like, do I get nothing out of this? And it's disheartening. And then here's the next thing that just pushes me the wrong way. Even when it's like, oh, look what God did. Oh, look what Jesus did. You still have those ones who will come up to me. It can be in the grocery store, at a restaurant, just out and about as normal. And they'll come up and start praying and laying hands on my legs and praying for me.
Yeah, and the whole time you're just like looking at them like, what? But what are you doing?
But then it's like, but you guys said that, you know, this was a good thing. This is what Jesus did, so this is good. But now you're trying to pray away what Jesus did.
So one thing that I can add on to that is my girlfriend, fiance, soon to be fiance, whatever. I love her. That's what's important. She treats me good. I treat her good. But she recently had a stroke, actually coming up on a year in April. And so with her having had that stroke, what is really telling from my perspective is I make a point of telling her, you know, I'm proud of the work you're putting in and I'm proud of you for your progress. Because I've seen that before. Obviously, you're not the first disabled person I've ever met. You know, it be what it be.
Mm-hmm.
But with Sarah, with her progress, I make a very salient point every day to ask her about, what are you doing in therapy? How is it going for you? How's OT? How's PT? You know, how's speech therapy going? Because I want her to understand that I'm acknowledging the work that she is doing. And I feel like that's the right way to handle this.
Right. It definitely is the right way to handle it, especially from my experience, because the people that would ask me those kinds of things, it definitely helped with going through it all. It didn't feel like, oh, it's all for nothing, because I'm never going to get any credit for any of this, and I'm never going to, like, what I do doesn't matter. It didn't make me feel like that.
Yeah.
Now versus Norse paganism, I get every bit of credit I'm due.
Mm-hmm.
With Norse paganism, it's like I feel a real connection to
listening. You know, listening to hear you say that. I in my head, I just thought to myself, like, a Christian would say that sounds very selfish,
right?
And in my head, I'm like, yeah, no, like you've struggled, you've worked, like you are the one that put in the effort. You know?
Yeah, it's and a Christian. You're right. A Christian would say that. It's just that in paganism / heathenry, I feel so much more of a connection to the people, my parents, even though they were diehard Southern Baptist Christians.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And even outside, like, I love being outside, especially when it's summertime, when it's warm, when I can go out and just, you know, roll around in my wheelchair and I just be out and about and not in my apartment. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't love, you know, doing this, but I always love being outdoors and seeing nature. Like, I went to Washington over the Christmas holiday, and there were just so many trails and so many roads that were just windy. There was no, like, people or anything.
Yeah.
But it was just trees and nature and beauty. And, like, we went up the mountains. We got to shoot firearms and stuff. And it was just the most beautiful, amazing thing. And I honestly cannot wait to go back. I miss Seattle so much.
Yeah.
I
think you're the only person I've ever heard say that in my life.
I miss that place. It was just nice. I'm sorry.
It's beautiful up there. The problem with Washington and California is that it's wasted on Washingtonians and Californians.
How so?
Well, for one, the just absolute insanity that is culture on the West Coast. It's like, let's not bullshit each other here. Let's look each other 10 toes pointed at you. Well, I mean, yeah.
Shut up.
No,
Shut up.
You know, but you know, let's be real here. Let's put 10 toes in the dirt and look each other in the eye. That is a fucking wild place politically. And I, this isn't a left versus right thing. This is like a common sense thing. Like, at what point do you not stop and look and say, wow, I think this might be self-destructive for me to take my community down this road? I don't know. I feel like introspection is lost on West Coasters, and I'll never understand it.
Right. I've never been to California, and I don't think I ever
want. You're not missing much.
I don't think I ever want to go there. I'm a Texas boy through and through. Sorry, I'm going to stay here where I don't pay state taxes and things aren't so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
You'll live.
But no, it's just so freeing. Mm-hmm. Being where I am right now. It really is. And I'm in love with where I am right now. Now, sometimes the people can be a little shitty. The ones that, you know, that I do meet online, I have to be kind of wary of, because sometimes what they present online isn't exactly what they present in person.
Yeah.
And they can hide behind, you know, fake identities. They can make these things up about themselves. Like, I know one person who stated, you know, he had studied for over 20 years, and then I knew this other person who said that, you know, he had all these different college degrees, and comes to find out he actually doesn't even have one. And
I've got one.
Well, yeah, and so do I.
But, well, yeah, I know.
You can prove it, though.
Yeah,
he never could.
See, that's the thing about the internet, is people on the internet forget that you're still a real person. You still have a real address, and you still have a real face for me to punch. And people forget, like, people on the internet get to talking real bold, you know what I mean? It's real easy to be bold whenever you're not running the risk of somebody punching you in the mouth.
Yeah, that's, and see, like, I have a TikTok.
Yeah.
I
follow your TikTok.
Thank you.
I'm here for you.
On TikTok, people have gotten, especially since COVID, people have gotten so comfortable being behind a computer screen, behind a phone screen.
They got reckless.
Yes, they get super reckless. And they say things to people because they know, chances are, they're never going to meet this person in real life. So they have no consequence of possibly getting punched in the face.
Yeah, which is what a lot of people need. Honestly, I've come to the conclusion, especially since COVID, that so many people who need to get punched in the face just don't, and it's disappointing.
I am of the opinion that every person needs to get punched in the face at least once in their life.
Have you been punched in the face?
Yes.
Recently?
Not recently, but I have been punched in the... Go ahead. I don't care. I believe every person should be punched in the face at least one time in their life, just to show that you are not this super untouchable being, that you can be touched. Life can humble you easily.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought I had it all. And at one point, you know, I did. You know, I had the wife, the kids, the house, everything. And my own actions kicked me in the face. And now I'm rebuilding from nothing. So I agree with you fully. It's real easy to get humbled real quick.
Like, for example, my parents, I'm not gonna lie, I'm their only son, so I got the spoiled prince treatment.
Mm.
However, caveat, I still got my ass whooped by my parents when I screwed up.
Well, I mean, you know, in the right circumstance, I feel like an ass whooping goes a long way.
And I don't, and I'm not gonna sit here and hear people, you know, talk about my parents. Oh, they abused you. Oh, no. My mother and my father knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because had they not,
yeah,
I would never have grown into the person I am. I wouldn't have the job I have. I wouldn't have the friends I have. I wouldn't have my degree. I probably wouldn't even graduated high school. I'd have gone back to the state within 5 years.
Yeah.
Because I needed it.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I have a little bit different perspective, especially down here. I shy away from spanking. I think that spanking is my absolute last resort.
Right.
And since my ex-wife and I split, I found that I don't have to be the disciplinarian all the time. Mm-hmm. And my relationship with my kids is that much better. Right. You know, I've got three kids that will talk to me about things. You know how cool that is?
Yeah.
To have your kids just come up and talk to you about stuff. Like, that makes my day. You know, and I never had that before. I never had the opportunity, especially with my oldest, you know. He and I, we're two very wildly different people, or at least we used to think we were. And now that we're actually talking, we're starting to find more and more common ground. And I think a lot of parents could benefit from that. But circling back to what you were saying, you know, physical punishment is not the devil. It's not, you know, something to be ashamed of or even necessarily avoided if it works. If you got a little knucklehead, a little feral child, sometimes you got to whoop them. It just be like that.
Yeah. Sometimes it just be like that.
People don't think it be like that, but it do.
I can recall this one time where it was my 16th birthday. And I was being a little shithead. I told my mom that, you know, she wasn't going to tell me what to do. It was my birthday. I was going to have my friends over. We were going to go and do whatever. And she wasn't going to stop me. Well, I hadn't asked her permission to have friends over.
Yeah.
So that was strike number one. Strike number two was the attitude. And strike number three was me telling her, not asking her to do anything. So once I smarted off,
that was it.
I turned my back and I heard wind, and then I felt pain against the backside of my head. She had taken the broomstick and hit me over the head with the broomstick and snapped it over the top of my head.
Hey, Jamarcus, what? Whack!
Exactly. That is exactly how it happened. And so once I had stumbled down and gotten back up, one fist on the wall, I turned around and I saw the broken broomstick in her hand, and she goes, well, shit, I'm going to have to buy another broomstick. Worked, though.
And I got the message across.
And I said, did you just hit me with that? And she goes, yeah, you want me to do it again?
No, I'm good, thank you.
After that one, I was good.
Hey, thankfully you got a half a brain in your head, and all it took was one.
Yeah. And as a kid, I was damn near as normal as you could make a kid.
I find that hard to believe.
Be normal with a disability. So there is a bald spot in the back of my head where my hair does not grow when I have all my hair grown out.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because me and my nephew got into a fight when I was like 7. He pushed me down, and on the corner of walls, I don't know if y'all know this, but sometimes the corner of walls can be really, really sharp. So when I fell, it sliced the back of my head open. I didn't realize it at first, but I got back up, pushed him, and walked off.
Yeah.
Well, I touched the back of my head because it felt warm.
Yeah.
And so just liquid was coming off in my hand. So
that's cold blood.
I pulled my hand off my head, and I went to my mom and I said, hey, mom, touched the back of my head, showed her. And she just went pale.
Yeah.
And she grabbed the towel, wrapped my head, and said, car now.
Right.
turns out I had to go to the hospital because the back of my head was bleeding and I was losing blood. And had they not gotten me to the hospital, I would have bled out and died.
Yeah, you'll live. Rub some dirt on it.
So we get to the hospital. They get me back there. The doctor does whatever he does. He gives me a shot to numb the back of my head. That way he doesn't... I don't feel him sewing my head back together.
Yeah.
However, I could feel a bit of the needle and the thread in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can feel it. It feels weird.
I will never forget that feeling for as long as I live.
Yeah, no, stitches are a weird feeling.
And I've had stitches lots of times before, just in the back of my head, never again. I'd rather them work on my legs 5 times over before I ever let them put stitches in my head again.
Yeah. Hold on real quick. We're going to... The wifey just responded, so we're going to say, oh, well, let me turn the camera
around. Well, you might want to turn the camera around because you can't really see.
Fuck off. Cool. Got it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. A picture for his fan club.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, so that's, you know, that's a story from my childhood. let's see. Other things about me. I do like sports, unlike most who are like me. That's another thing I want to bring up. I'm kind of weird in the fact that I don't have very many friends who have disabilities like me. I find myself not able to spend as much time around them. This is going to sound...
So let me ask you a question.
This is going to sound terrible.
Why is it that you feel that you don't feel, is it like an inability to make a connection, or is it personality difference? What do you think that reason is?
I think it does have a lot to do with not being able to make a connection, because with me, once I hit the age of 10 and I kind of got out of the sped part of school, special education.
Yeah.
Where I no longer had to go to sped classes for half the day or for, you know, 3 hours every day. I was fully integrated into the general population of the school. I kind of lost touch with that.
Yeah.
However, it was still, you know, known that I was under special education because I did have to leave for meetings at times. I was pulled out of class one time a week for both physical therapy and occupational therapy. I had to go to summer school one time a week every year simply for physical therapy. And I only went like half day, so 8 to 12 instead of the full 8 to 3. But once I hit that age of 10 and I'm in the full gen pop, I just lost it because, yes, I have a wheelchair, I have a walker, I have all these things, but I'm with the quote-unquote normal kids. So, eventually, I'm counted as one of the normal kids.
Yeah.
Even you know, the regular kids, they get over it at some point, and they're just like, oh, he's just like us. He just, you know, he walks a little differently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like when you and I hang out, you know. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I don't see your disability. Like, of course I do. You know what I mean? Like, but I try to minimize it.
Right.
Within us, within our interactions, because I feel like, and feel free to correct me, actually, in front of all the gods and the internet, I try to minimize it because I feel like that's not pertinent to our friendship.
Yeah, no.
Beyond, you know, helping you out, pushing when we go to the store, you know, like when we went to the store the other day, I pushed you around in the chair just so we could get around quicker.
Right.
Or like, giving you a hard time about it. What's my favorite nickname for you?
You're gonna have to go ahead and say that.
Old Hot Wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, either Hot Wheels or Steely Wheelie.
There you go. But no, it's just, I think it's really hard for me to make that connection because once I got into that general population, I started doing more and more general population things. Like, for example, I eventually was able to get onto the high school sports team. Yeah. I went on field trips. I had choir competitions.
So just to clarify, whenever you say you got on the high school sports team, you were a trainer.
Yeah, I was the trainer slash manager.
That's still awesome.
So I'm on the sports team, so I have to go to practice. I have to be with them. I have to travel with them. I do all the things with them that actually, kind of changed the course of my life, because if that had not happened, I probably wouldn't have gotten into college. And then it's even more so where, I start doing culinary arts. I start doing community service, working at the town carnival every year, going to the Winnie Rice Festival, going to that cooking competition every year, choir competition, so on, ensemble, all region, doing those trips, having to do overnight stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I kind of lost that feeling of, oh, I'm a disabled student, so I have to go hang out with the disabled kids, because my classmates also, once we got to high school, that's like the making fun of me and all that stuff, that stopped. And it's like, no, he's our classmate, he's part of our class.
He's one of us.
And even the physical fitness test, even though I wasn't required to take it, I still took it, and the coaches expected that. The pacer test, I did the pacer test. Anything that had to do with upper body strength.
So how did you do that. The pacer test?
The pacer test was basically.
No, I know what it is. How did you accomplish that?
Basically, I just ran until I was out on the walker.
Yeah.
Okay.
That tracks.
I just ran until I was out, and
that was a question of curiosity.
If I understand, and if I only did two, then I only did two, and that's great. But my tests came from push-ups, pull-ups, anything upper body strength related that didn't require the use of my legs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was graded. So I definitely got a real chance.
Yeah.
There. Yeah, I was actually graded as alongside everyone else when it came to that.
Yeah, you were graded on the events in which you could accomplish.
Right. And then the other things were substituted with other stuff. Field day in elementary school, I did field day.
Yeah.
Field day was a thing for me. I did everything that I could. Because as a kid, I'm just like, you're not going to hold me back simply because I have this disability. I have the ability to be able to move and do things, so I'm going to. Hell, the high school coaches wanted me to do powerlifting in high school, but I just... With the other sports, I just didn't have time.
Yeah.
College, the strength and conditioning coaches wanted me to come in and lift. I just never could because athletics took up all my time. And this was a funny incident that happened my senior year. My senior year, everybody's getting ready to go to college, go to the military, all these different things. One of the military recruiters, has us doing pull-ups, and... Well, I'm able to do pull-ups.
Yeah.
The only thing that disqualifies me is my legs.
I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit more in there, but...
Yeah, probably, but whatever.
Yeah, but the only visible physical obstacle that would prevent you from being able to serve is your legs, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like, a lot of people... So, one thing that... Hold on. Sorry, I'm dealing with the kids.
Mine.
My 14-year-old son took a stand with his very deeply religious conservative Christian mother that he is not a Christian, will not be a Christian, and will not be going to church.
Oh, that a boy. Proud of him.
Well, I told him, I was like, son, sometimes you got to go along to get along, and there is value to be had within the church. You're 14, dude. Like, I don't have a place for you to come live with me. I don't know what you're planning on doing here. So I'm advising you to go along to get along. For the sake of peace in the home. But he's standing on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, bud, wish you luck. Good luck. There's a reason I'm divorced from her. Like, I can leave. You can't.
Right. Sorry. That's your mom.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get a 2-bedroom whenever I move out to Houston. So
nice. That was the only thing. But my senior year, we're all getting ready for college, military, all these things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, college, at that point, it was time to reintroduce, you know, the use of a wheelchair, and you had to get me kicking and screaming to even think about going back into a wheelchair. And, well, unfortunately, they made a good point where, hey, college campuses are kind of big. You can't really walk that no matter how hard you try. And believe me, I tried. They took us on a college day trip to LSU, and I almost passed out. They took us on a college trip to the college that I actually went to, and I almost passed out. So after that,
well, I mean, Lamar's what, a 290 something acre campus?
Yeah, it's a really big campus.
I mean, that is a huge, sprawling, spread out campus.
Yeah, the university is a very big campus, and it's only going to get bigger.
Yep.
Because
they're already expanding, aren't they?
Yeah, they're still building stuff. Like, they just bought another building, and they're going to tear it down and build something else.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like LIT still building. They're building that. What are they building anyway?
That's Allied Health and Nursing building.
Oh, okay, so they're moving them out of the building that was across the street.
Yeah, Allied Health, Workforce, and I think Nursing is going in there as well. So, yeah, they're going to be moving out of that building that's over there across the street and back to the other side of the campus. And then that building is going to still house, like, I think...
The chemistry labs and all that.
The chemistry labs, the police academy, and...
Fire. Fire and EMS.
EMS, because fire's across town at the fire grounds.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But...
See, I thought they did their, I was under the impression they did their classroom stuff in there. But either way, we're talking in circles that nobody understands.
Right. So. But anyway, so I passed out, almost passed out. So I finally, you know, bit it and I said, okay, fine, whatever. They got me this chair that was measured directly to me, made for me. And they said, okay, sit down, try it out. And so I tried it out. They said, okay, take it for the day.
See how it feels.
Use it for the day. You need to start learning how to use it because this is what you're going to use in college and you need to learn. I had to relearn how to open doors. I had to relearn how to do things, how to, you know, carry stuff, all kinds of things. So it was, I really did need it, but, so I wander into class in this thing, and my classmates are just outraged.
Yeah.
They are upset because they thought the school had taken my walker away, had told me I was no longer allowed to walk, and stuck me in a wheelchair. They had no idea that, you know, it was for college. I had to stop the whole class. The class that I'm in, I had to stop him and say, no, this is for college. I have to be in this because I have to learn what to do. But then they were like, okay, well, we get it. It's fine. And then that's when I turned the chair up to like 5, which is the fastest setting on the chair that I have. And I just started, you know, dipping and dodging through the hallways.
Yeah.
And, you know, drifting around corners and crap. And, you know, my classmates thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
So
let me ask you a question. Have you considered getting an athletic chair? Like the ones with the lower center of gravity and the easy glide wheels and all that jazz?
Or
are you going to stick with the automatic?
I have definitely considered that for, like, you know, nature trails and stuff like that. Because I really do need to get back into some kind of physical activity so that I can keep my strength up and lose weight. Because... I love lifting. That's something else. Lifting actually does help put me back on equal footing with other people. Because I'm just focusing on my upper body. There's nothing else to worry about. And I just go. I love lifting. I got into it in 2017. Started with this one guy and then we went together for like 3-4 months and then he dropped me because he said his work schedule changed, but I don't know if that was actually true. And since then my gym goings have been very off and on and I hate that, but when I do go, I give it my all because I don't know if I'm going to be back the next day. But I do need to get back into some kind of physical activity or or something like that, just so I can keep my strength up, because yeah, I'm getting kind of weak. But
yeah,
muscle memory is a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
No, there's just a lot. There's a lot there. That, you know, about my life that, you know, people ask about, what's it like being adopted, what's it like having two families, what's like, living with a disability, do you think, you know, you're inferior? God, there was a day where I saw a post on Facebook in a group that said, do you think, or do you feel as if you are inferior to able-bodied people? And I'm here to tell you folks, no.
No, honestly, what I'll say about this is one thing I've noticed about you that I really have enjoyed is that while you don't shit on other disabled persons, you strive really hard to not let this define you. And I really respect that, because it's real easy. I mean, I have disabilities myself, actually. I have both physical and mental disabilities. And what I found is that not to minimize these things in my life, but I've got to work around them myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I really need to be careful I need to be mindful of my, of how I'm speaking to myself and how I'm handling things myself. Because I don't want my, you know, and comparative, I don't want my struggles to become something that make it difficult for me to function within society.
Mm-hmm.
Even though writ large, I generally don't like society.
But, right. And it's just that post. It ticked me off badly. It put me in a right rage, and it's good that I actually could not comment that day, because the comment that I had written was very, very derogative, very, very mean to the original poster, whether that be a joke or if it was the real thing, because to me, disabled or not, how dare you even think that I am inferior to another man. I'm inferior to no man. You might be bigger than me. You might be more able than me.
Yeah.
But you will not stop me from doing what I want to do in life. You may well kick my ass, but I'm going to give you a run for your fucking money.
Yeah. You'll know I was there.
Yeah, you'll know I was there. For example, one of the people I live with, he absolutely said that, you know, after a minute, he really wanted to fight me. He was sitting here in my bedroom saying these things, and while I'm folding, you know, my pants and placing them in my dresser, I looked at him dead in the face and said, "Get on your knees. Get on your knees and fight me." "Well, you don't have no legs." "Okay, I can't get legs, but you can lose yours."
Right.
"Get on your knees."
I won't get on my knees to fight you, because that just sounds super duper duper gay, and I'm uncomfortable with that. I will, however, fight you sitting down. We can fight sitting down.
Right. There is.
We should do that. We should get some rolly chairs or like rolly stools and some boxing gloves and just spar it out sitting down one day. I think that'd be fun as hell.
Do you mean wheelchair jousting?
I don't mean wheelchair. No, I mean I mean rolly stool boxing.
Wheelchair jousting.
I feel like that's a separate sport altogether.
Oh yeah, it is. But you never ever say that I'm somehow inferior to anybody, because while you may be fully able-bodied, fully able-bodied, as I'm using quotes in this, there are some things that I can do that you can't.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I could be
algebra.
I could be stronger than you. I could be stronger than you. So you may have to stand up to do things, but I can do things sitting down. So you put a hand on me, I can pull you down to my level really quickly.
Yeah.
Grip strength is a thing. but no, not inferior to any other person on this planet. And if you think I am, you can suck that.
Yeah.
Side note, Tom made a comment about, you know, gay people. Surprise, I'm bisexual, so if you don't like that, please leave.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah, so this isn't going to be one of those podcasts where it's two right-wingers yelling at each other about the liberals. I don't play that fucking game.
Yeah, no.
Now, if we want to yell about the government, I'm here for that shit.
I rarely get political.
Okay, yeah, no.
Politics is not my thing. Like, I have my opinions on things, but that's about it. I don't really care what the current president is doing, because at the end of the day, I still have to get up, go to work, make my own living.
Because
nobody's going to pay my bills. Nobody's going to pay my rent. Nobody's going to pay for anything that I have. So
I keep trying to tell you that. I keep trying to tell you OnlyFans is the way.
I don't have the body for that.
I mean, there's a market. There is a market, right?
I do not have the body for that.
I'm willing to bet, and I'm not going to Google it because I don't want to fuck up my algorithm, but I'm willing to bet gay, black, disabled is a porn category.
Oh, my God. If he goes home and Googles this tonight and comes back and starts telling stories about this shit, I am not responsible. Not taking responsibility for that shit at all.
Yeah. So let's have a conversation about what we want to do with this podcast. Like, we've kind of introduced ourselves. We've let you have a little bit of a tirade. I kind of want to heel turn a little bit and start talking about, where do we want to go? What do we want to do? What do we want to present the world besides two dudes sitting at a desk? There's enough of that out there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what is our goal?
Well, I'll turn that around and ask you, what is our goal?
Honestly, I kind of want to use this podcast as a vehicle to share cultural entertainment and educational topics that really you can't find elsewhere in Texas. And I want to focus on Texas because we are Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start local, you know, the Golden Triangle area. Like I was telling you the other day, I'd like to have, if we can find other comedians that want to come on, or local entertainers that have things coming on. Like, I have a really good friend of mine who is in a band. Well, actually, I think he's a solo act now. I don't know what he's doing. Danny's all over the place. But, like, I would love to have him on before shows, give him a chance to promote. And, yeah, we may not have an audience yet, but this is episode zero. We're here playing with audio equipment at this point.
Right.
I'd also like to use this as a local debate platform, because there is a desert of diversity of thought in this area. Mm-hmm. It is very white, very conservative, very heterosexual Christian. And there are other ideas and ideals that we as a team have the ability to explore, you know, you with your academic connections. I'm willing to bet we can get some smart people in this room.
Probably.
And learn things that we wouldn't be able to learn even in the schoolhouse, because there's no shackles here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What, all six people are going to get mad at them? You know? You know, all seven listeners?
Right.
So I think, honestly, I'd like to do that. I'd like to start getting some local academic and entertainment personalities in here and use in order to build exposure and to build some communities in our area. You know, I'd like to develop a comedy scene. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, Friday, March the 1st at Texas Roast Saloon here in Beaumont on MLK. I'm hosting the inaugural comedy open mic for that location. Everyone's welcome to come out. Everyone's welcome to come tell jokes. It'll be a good time. But remember, it's an open mic, so there's going to be new people. I promise you, there's going to be at least 3 first-timers up, and I am so excited for this, because a person's first time doing comedy does one of 2 things. You're either hooked or scared off the stage. Okay? So, when I first went up, I went up in the Laredo at a bar called the Cold Brew. The Cold Brew Rock Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And my now girlfriend at the time, we were chasing each other around Laredo. We would see each other around. We were both attracted to each other. We were both in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we probably have the absolute worst origin story for a relationship, and somehow it works. So she was widowed. Her fiance her boyfriend died. The same within 2 weeks of me losing the partner that I left my family for. And it was a bitter, brutal, bloody breakup. Like, brother, man, I cried for days straight. Like even in the military, I was still in the military at the time. I was working on the border mission, and my supervisor, my lieutenant, was like, "Yeah, man, just go back upstairs. Go back to your room. You're no good to me, a crying, blubbery kind of a bitch mess." And I agreed with him. So, you know, I took time off work to grieve this, and then one day we ran into each other at a bar at called the Safe House, and it's a cop bar in Laredo. They were doing an open mic. I was being a drunk asshole because I was sad and forgot my manners, and I was really shit-faced. And I'm not making excuses. I was being an asshole. Well, so she gets on stage and just hammers us. Bam, bam, bam. And she was taking a break from comedy, and I was the vehicle to get her back behind the mic. So what ended up happening is she pulls me aside. We're talking. She's like, "Hey, come to this bar tomorrow. Keep your wits about you. You'll have a good time." So we go outside. Everybody's smoking. All the comedians are outside smoking a cigarette. All right, not a left-handed cigarette. That's illegal in Texas. We would never. Comedians don't do drugs at all. I don't know where people get this idea. But so we were outside smoking a cigarette, and I was like, "Man, this seems like a lot of fun. Like, why do you guys enjoy this?" And I struck up a conversation about it, and pretty much I got bullied. I didn't get a conversation. It was 7 dudes calling me a bitch because I was like, "I kind of want to sign up." And then she looked me in the eye, and she's like, "They will never respect you if you don't get up there and at least do it once." So up I went. I was hooked. Now, I've seen people get up there and freak out just shy to the almost to the point of having a heart attack, where I physically had to go up and drive them off the stage. You know what I mean? And it's a really weird thing, and I'm really excited to see where this is going to go. Honestly, I'm excited for this open mic, and I'm hoping, you know, you can come. I'm sure you'll be there. I mean, you know, I have like 4 friends, and if
don't see why not.
Yeah, exactly. Especially considering I'm coming to get you.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so with that, you know, but that's the idea I have for our podcast, is to be a local discussion and sounding board for our community.
Right.
I would even like to see if we can build enough of a following having local politicians on.
I don't see a problem with that at all.
Hosting small scale, quiet, private debates, where we're not private debates, but small scale, quiet public debates, where the 2 candidates can sit down face to face and look each other in the eye without yelling and screaming and grandstanding, and actually answer questions that Southeast Texans want to know. You know, I don't care what party you are. I really don't.
Right.
What I care about is, what policies are you going to advocate for on my behalf? Why should I vote for you?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a reason. I'm not just going to vote for you. And then another thing I'd like to do is, as we build a following, I would like, and I've discussed this with you before, I would like to get military buddies or friends of friends together and do one-shot D&D campaigns on camera.
Hey.
I think that would be so much fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine if, like, so imagine it, we do this, right? And you've got a buddy that was in the Navy, right? And he brings his buddy that was in the Navy with him, and then I bring one of my Army buddies from the Dakotas, and then he brings another buddy who's from New York, and we all get together around a table, and we break bread and build frith, and we just game together, because veterans are some of the funniest people alive.
Oh,
whenever you get
God.
Other people out of the space, it is incredible. And then if you look at how much fun gamers are, I think this could be a really, really fun thing for us to do.
Yeah.
you know?
So this podcast could honestly end up being a whole different, all different kinds of flavor of things. And I honestly just hope people are, you know, willing to be here along for the ride. There are things, you know, Tom has ideas, I have ideas. This is me actually putting my college degree to work, because my very first, you know, dream before sports entered, before all the other things, you know, entered my life and I fell in love with them, was to be a radio DJ.
Yeah.
So this is me actually putting my college degree at work that the state paid for. I appreciate that. So the more we put out, the more people that we find to have on to talk about different things, the more I get to put this degree to work, and that just, this will be a fun new thing for me to look forward to, definitely. Yeah. For me, honestly, what I want out of it is just, at the end of the day, a place where, you know, people can come on, me and Tom, or, you know, Tom and another friend of his, or me, Tom, and whatever friends we have.
Well, you're my co-host and the producer, so I can't do this without you, because I don't know if you know this or not, but my computer's a piece of shit.
Oh.
So.
Did not know that. Okay.
Well. You're the producer, dog.
So, you know, retract what I just said. So,
dude, you're the Jamie to my Joe. You're the Justin to my Freedom Friends.
Okay. So.
Gotcha, bitch.
Oh, God. So to kind of go back on what I was saying.
I was going to make a manservant joke, but I feel like that might be racially insensitive.
Not right now. At the end of the day, my idea is just to have a space where me and Tom and whoever wants to be here can come on and talk about whatever they would like to talk about and get our opinions or say what they have to say.
Is it bad that I kind of, it's at some point I kind of want to bring my ex-wife on and interview her?
Oh, I want to bring several of my friends on.
Yeah.
From here in Texas and across the U.S. Mm-hmm. to just, you know, be here and share their experiences,
yeah,
their thoughts on, you know, paganism, heathenry, everything.
I mean, and not even just that. Like, we can bounce. Like, I don't like the idea of being pigeonholed into one topic or one lane, because
thank you,
that kills so many podcasts, and I don't want to do that. Like, I want to take the Joe Rogan, Dr. Phil, Theo Vaughn style.
Yes.
Where it's open conversations. That's why I've talked about bringing entertainers and academics and politicians and community leaders and rich people and poor people and drug dealers
and drug dealers.
I sincerely want to bring a straight up local gangbanger on the show. Blur his voice. Blur.
Oh my gosh!
Edit the man and put him over there in that corner with a curtain over his head so we can't see who he is. And hear what this dude has to say. That has to be fun. Alright, like, we both have guns. We'll pat him down before we let him in the house.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. What if he kills the dog?
He's not going to kill the dog.
What if he kills the dog?
He's not going to kill the dog.
What if he does?
See, this is that moment where we need that elevator music sound drop because it... come on, dude.
Ugh.
He's not going to kill the dog.
He's going to kill the dog. Fuck.
He's a gangbanger.
He's gonna.
He's a gangbanger, not a serial
killer. Gangbangers kill dogs.
Never mind. I'll shut up now.
Thank you.
I forgot about dog fighting.
Exactly.
Shut up, Michael Vick.
Thank you. Anyway, rich people, poor people, every kind of people. People we know, people we don't know. Because that's the one thing. I don't want this to be a show just for the rich and famous and powerful and... blah blah blah. No, because a lot of local people, just everyday Joe Blows, don't ever get to have their voices heard.
And yeah,
if this can be a place for that, then awesome. We don't always have to agree with everything, but hey, that's what works.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jam. Let's go ahead and take five, and I'm gonna use your potty real quick, and then we'll come back to it.
Oh my gosh, my potty's gonna get destroyed.
All right, welcome back. We just took our midpoint break, which is probably closer to the end, being that we're at, what, an hour?
Yeah, over an hour. We're at the hour and 5 minutes, but there's probably got to be a lot of editing
that has
to happen with that, because there's dead space in places.
What? No. Yeah. Two amateur podcasters with dead air?
Dead space, gotta love it.
Right?
Love it so much. Other ways to follow us and see what's going on in our lives. I have a Discord server. The link to that Discord server will be in the description of this podcast, wherever it is posted. So just be on the lookout for that. I also have a TikTok. I can post that link. I will definitely give that some thought. Tom?
You can find me, and this will be in the show notes as well. You can find me at Tom Hope Comedy on Instagram and Facebook. And I also have a TikTok. And we're going to look at potentially putting together some social media for the show if we can get some traction.
Right. That would be the first place you would go. And then from then on, you would find us in other places if you wanted to see us separately. But we're a lot funnier together, so I would...
Well, I mean, he's funnier when I'm around. Let's tell the truth.
Get fucked.
You're only allowed to say that whenever you get paid to make jokes.
What?
You're only allowed to tell me to go fuck myself for that after that comment whenever you get paid to make jokes.
I'm going to tell you that no matter what happens.
That's fair. This is true.
Stop trying to police my language.
Oh, are we doing this now?
Are we?
Are we doing this now?
Are we?
Okay. Yeah, no. This is not fair because I lose the oppression Olympics every time. Fuck your disabilities and your veteran status. You're still a white male. A white man. Dun, dun, dun.
Tom is actually in love with one of my very best friends. I call him my brother. He's from Scotland. He loves the man's voice. Don't know why, but he's in love with a man from Scotland, so don't let him fool you.
I've got a boy crush.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, hey, don't judge me.
Bad. one of the things that I do enjoy about having a brother from Scotland is the cultural difference. For example, one word that he uses affectionately is cunt.
That is an underappreciated word.
That is a very unappreciated word.
Like, well, okay, so I've been around the world a couple of times, and every other English-speaking language, up to and including New Zealand, cunt is just cunt.
It's a loving word.
Yeah. You call your friends, you call your mates cunts, and you call cunts mate.
Yep.
It took me 6 months to figure out the Australians weren't trying to start a fight. So in 2008, I was stationed. I was a part of Task Force Hunter Killer, part of Multinational Division Baghdad, and one of our partner forces was a company of Australian light armor guys, LAR guys, and it took me a long time to realize that they weren't being dicks when they called me a cunt. That's just how they talk. You know what I mean? That's like an American veteran saying fucker. I call everyone fucker. It's gender neutral and loving. You know? Like, I call my kids fucker. But they're little fuckers, so.
But you love them.
I do. Most of the time. Right now, my oldest is having an edgelord fight because he's decided at 14 years old, he wants to be an atheist. And instead of talking to his mom about it, he went full, like, edgelord meltdown and started with the personal attacks. And I was like, I was talking to him. I'm like, look at here, pizza cutter. You're going to have to chill with that. One thing he has to learn from his mother and I. So I'm an independent. I'm not very educated. I only have an associate's degree, but I am a voracious student and reader. I mean, you, Jamarcus has seen my transcripts. There's shit all over the place. Why? Because I fucking can. My ex-wife has a master's degree in social work with a focus in psychology and mental health. So we are both very good conversationalists. And we are both very, very fond of intellectual challenge. That's why we're not friends, but we can still talk. You know what I mean? I see my ex-wife out in public. We have conversations. What my son has yet to realize is that being loud and obnoxious doesn't make you right. It makes you a cunt. See?
Mm-hmm.
Underappreciated word there.
But
yeah, so it's with that, you know, he's had, but yeah, little Mr. Pizza Cutter, you know why I call him Pizza Cutter, right?
Hmm.
All edge, no point. he wants to do his 14-year-old gay edgelord bit because he's a 120-pound gay white kid in a tiny Texas town, and like it kills me because it's like, dude, like you have to be able to have conversations and work with people. Like, I hate to break it to you, but boomers will probably still be in the workforce whenever you start working in a couple years. Yeah. You got to get used to it. You can't go around thinking that the world is going to kowtow to your religious beliefs or supposed lack thereof.
Nope.
You know, I mean, even in this day and age, even the a firm footing in belief in science and scientific reason is still a religious approach.
Right.
Because these people put their absolute faith in science. Look at COVID. What were the three words that is the bane of everyone's existence during COVID? Do you know where I'm going with this, Jamarcus? Three little words, and when I say, your eyeballs are going to roll so hard, your retinas are going to attach. You ready for this? Trust the science. Right? So, and that's what I keep trying to tell my son. I'm like, son, science isn't everything. Like,
no.
Honestly, what I want to do is if it were legal, all right, if we lived in a society, I would feed him mushrooms. That there's one surefire way to prove the spiritual, and that's psychedelics.
Yeah.
I'm here to say it with 10 toes pointed right at you. I firmly believe in the spiritual realm, and I fully believe that. There's a book. A couple of books. If you're interested at all in this subject matter, that I recommend you check out. There's a book called Stoned Ape. I forget the name of the author. And then there's a book. Actually, I have it right here in my bag. Hold this, please.
He's actually looking for a book.
It's called The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross by John M. Allegro. And what it is an exploration of Christianity's roots in the pre-Hebrew fertility cults of the Middle East. And how those particular cults revolved around the fly Amanita mushroom, which, for those of you who don't know, is the brown stem, red cap, white dots. The classic Minecraft mushroom or Mario mushroom is actually a psychedelic mushroom, which leads me to believe, if you look at the mushrooms and flowers in use in the Mario games, the Mario universe is an allegory, is an allegory for psychedelic exploration.
Allegri.
Go fuck yourself.
He said Allegri.
You're only allowed to make fun of my language and grammar. You know what? You're only allowed to make fun of my language and grammar when you can beat me in a foot race.
Gammer.
I said grammar, you dick face.
You said gammer.
You keep it up, I'm going to say a gamer word.
You said gammer. But this is a very thick book.
Mm-hmm. I like them thick.
Obviously.
Well, I mean, I'm a white guy who lives in a trailer park. Of course I like them big.
Yeah, you do.
I like them big. I like them juicy.
But, Definitely one of the biggest things I do want to say is that in life, hold on before I say that, your kid is in his villain phase.
Yes,
this is his villain phase.
This upcoming is his hot girl summer, I think. So,
oh my gosh, hot girl summer. But in life there are many different pathways that you can go. Do not just go on the regular straight and narrow. Always look for what speaks to you. And don't be afraid to live that truth out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to live your own life. You got to live your own truth, and you got to surround yourself by people who will love you for who you are while at the same time challenging you. Because to have people around you that agree with you creates an echo chamber, and an echo chamber does nothing but make you dumber.
Yep. Does nothing. It does nothing to help you whatsoever. You have to continue learning in life. You have to have something to challenge what you believe, to see why you believe it, and go from there. Because it helps you to be able to stand on your own two feet when it comes to somebody challenging those beliefs.
Yeah. Or, well, in your case, your own wheels.
Okay.
You sit up straight when you talk to me.
Shut up.
No.
Fucker. Gosh. This is gonna be great. No, but I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And see what happens with it.
Probably straight to hell, but I'm here for the ride.
Hey, whatever.
Hey, man, so one thing I've learned, especially since my divorce, I'm living for the plot. I am here for the story. Well, it feels like we're starting to reach to a natural wrap-up point, so...
Definitely does.
All right, Jamarcus, why don't you go ahead and find something clever to say and sign us off.
Don't do drugs.
I said clever. Whatever he just said, don't listen to. Don't do drugs.
Drugs are bad.
Do crime.
No.
Be gay, do crime.
Be gay, don't do crime. Stay out of jail. We don't have bail money. Love each other. Behave. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.